Chapter 33. Kristoff. Rosmarin met me in the hallway, having been told the news already by Lynx, and the three of us left the castle to make the journey to the northern wall.
"Why won't you let this visitor into the city?"
Rosmarin asked Lynx as we rode our horses through bustling streets.
"It's an extra precaution. We have no idea who she is, but she said you would vouch for her."
Lynx informed us. "She?" I asked, confused at who could be looking for me. A wave of fear pulsed through me as I wondered if it was Zillin up to some trick. I wouldn't put it past the vampire sorcerer, but he most likely would have come to the city from the East Gate, unless he was really trying to catch us off guard, which was a possibility. As we rode on through the city, we passed werewolves and Nogwals going about their daily routines. By now, word had spread of the council from Constanta and our aide, so we saw many smiling faces. Many of them even waved to Rosmarin, despite knowing that she was a vampire.
"Have they so quickly forgotten the ancient feud?"
Rosmarin asked Lynx as she smiled and waved to the people.
"They never had a reason to forget it before. If you hadn't noticed, we don't see many vampires in Nawaddle,"
Lynx commented. He looked regal as he rode along, dressed in his silver guard's uniform as he rode.
"I think it's a bit too hot here for a vampire's liking," I teased. "There really never was much of a basis for holding on to past tensions,"
Lynx continued.
"I think it was just a part of our history, and there were never any vampires around to challenge those beliefs. But having you and Rachel here with all you're doing for our people, that's definitely changed some minds."
"Well, I'm glad,"
Rosmarin articulated with a bright smile.
"It's about time things change around here,"
Lynx agreed. Even though I felt like the world would crash down around us at any moment, I was happy for the trip through the city. Our first arrival at Nawaddle was at night, so I hadn't been able to see this part of the city yet. As a Westsider, I thought the East Village was just about the prettiest place I had ever seen besides Constanta Castle. But Nawaddle had a magical charm to it I had never experienced before. There was a perfect blending of old and new. They had managed to preserve many of the ancient buildings and lore, especially in the colorful paintings and murals on the sides of buildings. More modern establishments also remained, like skyscrapers and glass buildings that existed before the zombie outbreak. And between these older buildings, new colorful homes and shops stood proudly as they reflected Nawaddle's vast heritage. After a while of riding along the cobbled streets in the warm sun, the great tan wall rose up ahead. As we approached, Lynx called up to the guards on top of the wall.
"We're here to meet the visitor at the gate,"
he called to a werewolf. The werewolf nodded and then slowly pulled on a large chain that opened the red gates. The three of us passed through and out into the green field that spread out before us.
"Be on your guard," I whispered to my companions. Both of them looked at me in confusion.
"You think it could be a trick?"
Rosmarin uttered as she saw the grimace on my face and my hand at my dagger.
"You never know," I replied, and my mate nodded at the wisdom of my words.
As we rode forward, Roz and Lynx both took a more vigilant stance on their mounts. A figure sat on a horse up ahead, and I strained my eyes to see who it was. I couldn't tell until we got closer, and I saw a furry leg hanging down one side of the horse.
"Michaela!"
I shouted as I directed my horse next to hers. Relief flooded my veins. No one likes being on edge all the time. Once I got close, I hugged her as best as I could from my horse, a gesture she gladly returned.
"Kristoff! Rosmarin! It's so good to see you both!"
The fawn beamed at us before nodding at Lynx. "This is our friend, Lynx," I introduced the Nogwal. Ever the gentleman, Lynx bowed his head.
"My lady."
I chuckled at him before turning my attention back to Michaela. "What brings you all the way to Nawaddle?" I asked, truly excited to see the fawn. "And alone." She giggled, A joyful sound that reminded me of Arwen, or the magical sounds of Carwyn Forest.
I told you I'd come to visit.
You picked a pretty terrible time to come south, I cautioned.
Things have gotten pretty bad here,
Rosmarin added.
Well, then you'll be happy to see what I brought you.
Michaela reached down into a pack strapped to the side of her horse and pulled out something wrapped in cloth. She handed it over to me, and I gingerly unwrapped the gift. The unmistakable glint of silver sparkled up at me. A dagger? I questioned her as I turned the shining blade over in my hand.
Do you remember in Treble Village when I said you reminded me of something?
When I nodded, she continued.
Well, after you all left, I returned to the forest to find that something, and this was it.
She spoke as if I understood the significance of the blade, but when she noticed my blank stare, she explained further.
There is a shrine in the forest, an ancient sanctuary constructed a long time ago in honor of the gods and spirits that watch over us. Part of my duty as a druid is to maintain such places, so I go there sometimes.
The Vaughn looked over at Rosmarin.
You told me that Kristoff has some kind of power, that he can control light. Well, there are pictures in the shrine of someone, I don't know, someone shooting light out of their body. That's who you reminded me of.
Rosmarin and I shared a knowing glance. So there was yet another place that had images of a light bearer, whatever I was. So what about the dagger? I asked. My head spun as I tried to piece together all this information.
That dagger was in the shrine,
Michaela divulged.
I had discovered it a long time ago and figured it would be best to leave it out of respect. But I think you should have it.
I turned the dagger over in the cloth and inspected it. The curved blade sparkled in the sunlight, and small, golden words were carved into it in a language I couldn't read. The hilt was also silver, with ornate designs and diamonds set into the metal. It's beautiful. I admired it, and as I grabbed the hilt, it fit my grip as if it were made for me. The moment I settled my grip, a wave of energy coursed through me. Whoa. Did you guys see that?
What happened?
Rosmarin wondered. I don't know, but it feels pretty good in my hand. I turned the blade side to side as I marveled at it.
You should try it out,
Michaela offered. I agreed, and so we rode out from the wall into open land. I dismounted from my horse and made sure to be far enough away from Lynx, Rosmarin, and Michaela. I slipped my eyes shut, almost immediately entering into a trance. My practice really had started to pay off. The light flowed through me, only it felt stronger somehow with the blade gripped in my left hand. I let the light circle my core and then pushed it down my arm. What surprised me was how easily it transferred to the blade. Then, as I opened my eyes, I released the light. It shot out from the dagger's tip and ripped through the air like a lightning bolt. Wow, I mumbled as I studied the dagger in my hand. Rosmarin, Michaela, and Lynx rode over to me with a look of surprise on their faces.
That was amazing,
Michaela cheered.
How did it feel?
Rosmarin asked as she glanced at the blade. That felt amazing. It was so easy to focus the light and even easier to release it. I marveled at the silver dagger in my hand.
You really are something,
Lynx said with awe in his voice. Rosmarin's face lit up with a smile, one I hadn't seen in a long time.
Maybe this blade is some sort of conduit that helps you control your powers better.
I guess so, I said as I turned the blade in my hand. I spent a little more time outside the walls with my new blade, sending bursts of light from the dagger with little effort. I even managed to push the energy into the blade and hold it there, as if I was charging it up with light. After a while of practice, with the sun starting to set in the west, we decided it best to return to the castle. As we passed through the red gates, Lynx called back up to the guards, who eyed Michaela. She's with us, he told them, and they nodded and went back to their posts. Lynx led us back through the city streets. The bustle had started to die down now that night was approaching. Some people still lingered outside and waved to us. They must have never seen a fawn before, because anyone who saw her stared in awe at her furry legs and ears sticking up from her brown hair. Ever been to Nahuatl before? I asked Michaela as we leisurely rode through the city.
Never,
she replied as she looked in awe at the colorful buildings.
It's pretty different from the forest, isn't it?
Rosmarin added.
Yeah, you can say that.
She giggled. Wait until you see the jungle, I told her. By the time we reached the castle hill, the sun had dipped beneath the horizon, but the queen's gardens were just as magical at night. We ascended the hill, enjoying the cool night air in each other's company. When we got to the castle, Lynx led us up to our floor and took Michaela to an open room.
See you tomorrow,
Rosmarin called to the fawn as she opened the door to her room. Thanks for the blade, I added. Michaela gave us a smile and wave and went into her room. Lynx wandered back by us.
She's kind of cute,
he winked at me. Rosmarin and I laughed as the Nogwal descended the steps. He's a funny one, I said as I wrapped my arms around Rosmarin.
Are you coming to the room?
She asked as she turned and opened the door to our room.
I think I'll pay Sahar a visit first and show her my new gift, I replied.
Rosmarin nodded and entered the room, closing it behind her with a click. I wandered the few doors down to the sorceress's room and knocked on the door. Before I even finished knocking, the door swung open to reveal Sahar standing there with a smile on her face. Her room was dimly lit and smelled like incense, much like her room and lab back home. She wore a long, basically see-through golden silk dress that revealed her perfect breasts. She didn't have her usual headpiece on, but her long, dark hair fell down her slim figure. I stared at the sorceress, always in awe of her exotic beauty, and as I looked at her up and down, I almost forgot what I had gone there for, especially when she placed her dark hand on my chest and pressed her soft lips to mine.
And what brings you here, Kristoff?
She breathed into my ear, making my stomach twist in knots and my body tremble. I leaned in and kissed her again. I savored the sweet taste of her lips before holding up the silver dagger. The sorceress grabbed it from me with a smirk and turned the blade over in her hands. She had a puzzled look on her face, something that was rare to see.
Much mystery surrounds this dagger.
Sahar hummed. Like you? I laughed.
Yes, like me.
She smiled back.
The blade certainly is ancient and holds power. That much I can tell, but it seems it proposes more questions than it answers.
I should have known. I chuckled as she handed the blade back to me. Michaela says it came from a shrine in the Carwyn Forest. She said there were images of something like a light-bearer there. It sounds like the ones we saw in the temple. Sahar placed the blade on the table and walked back over to me. She wrapped her arms up around my neck.
There are many mysteries in this world, light-bearer.
That there are. I nodded at my dear, mysterious lover and kissed her again. Only this time, I couldn't help but release the passion that had been building in me since she had opened the door. She ran her long fingers through my hair as she licked her tongue along my lips, and then slid her hands down and unbuttoned my shirt. She ripped it off eagerly and drew her hands over my bare skin. Pure elation coursed through my body at this unexpected meeting. It had been a while since Sahar and I had any alone time. Everything about her was intoxicating and mystifying, and I felt myself give in to her fully as she pulled me across the room toward her bed. Our shadows danced on the wall behind us in the flickering candlelight. Sahar spun around and pushed me down so I sat on the bed. She pressed her warm, soft breasts against my face and then slid her hands down to my pants, which she pulled off of me. She pushed me back onto the bed and climbed on top of me. As she slipped her dress off, I hungrily looked at her naked body. Her soft, dark skin looked even more flawless in the candlelight, and her eyes shone with passion. She rubbed my chest and slid her hand down between us to guide me inside of her. She let out a soft moan as I entered and slowly began moving her body bewitchingly. I felt something in me awaken then, something that I had felt in the forest with Rosmarin during our mating ritual and in the graveyard with Rachel as I watched her dance freely under the dark trees. It was some kind of primal feeling that had awoken inside me after my resurrection. And, like my new fangs, it was just another indication that I was now more than human. I felt those fangs with my tongue and pulled Sahara down on me. She continued her undulating movements, and her body pressed and rubbed against mine. I kissed her and bit at her lip and ran my softly glowing hand through her long hair. Then I pulled her hair back forcefully and exposed her supple neck, which I sank my fangs into. Sahar screamed out in ecstasy as I sucked at her neck. I tasted the copper flavors of her warm blood, then slid my hands down the curve of her back to her fleshy bottom. As I moved my body with hers, I squeezed and pushed her butt so she moved faster, and I sank deeper into her. She tore her neck away from my mouth that dripped with her blood and pressed her lips back to mine. That primal part of me took over, and I flipped Sahara over and thrust into her with all my burning passion flowing through me. She squirmed under me as I pushed deeper into her until our bodies glistened in sweat. She screamed louder and clawed at me, and I knew she was almost to the brink. I grabbed at the blanket above Sahara's head, and my arm muscles rippled beneath my shining skin. Her face contorted as her shouts of pleasure filled the room, and it drove me crazy. She arched her back and pushed up into me, telling me she wanted it, and I pressed deeper into her and felt myself explode as her body vibrated with shudders. I held her for a minute while the feelings of pleasure washed over us, and as that primal part of me dissipated back into some deep, hidden part of me. I needed that, I breathed into Sahar's ear.
So did I.
She smirked at me. After catching my breath, I got up and dressed and grabbed my new dagger from the table. See you tomorrow, Sahar. I called her where she still lay naked on her bed.